What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And this is The Culture Report. Let's go. And you know, we talk a lot of on The Culture Report. So I figured, who would be better to come sit on the couch and talk some with me and Rick than my brother? This guy managed, to me, the second best rap group of all time outside of behind Outkast. This guy managed A-Ball and MJG. A-Ball and MJG coming out hard album is the... I told you this. I think how we got cool. I told you this when I met you. A-Ball and MJG's coming out hard album is probably the most important album to my entire childhood. Ooh. Like, that and Southern Playlistic. But Southern Playlistic was like listening to my big brother's rap. Coming Out Hard was like listening to some mystical pimp niggas that just came in. And it was like you wanted to be like them. So I just had to give that little intro to let people understand. Let's clap for my brother Motown. And by the way, Mo, that's so unfair. Like, you don't have so much other shit going on. Like, it's so unfair to you. Like, you don't have so much stuff going on and so many things to run through. But I had to say that because I believe that it's important to tell. I believe that if we say something is important enough, people will believe it. Yeah. And sometimes in our community, what we like to do is downplay our heroes. Oh, he ain't shit no more. And it's like, nah. When I was a kid, he was that nigga. He's still that nigga to me. I don't care what you say. And I just think it's important to do that, bro.
Oh, I don't mind it because, I mean, it's balling G. Like, regardless of what a lot of people say, I hear a lot of people when they talk about, like, groups and duos, a lot of times people kind of overlook them. I was a person, like, being from the West Coast, and I used to always see them in, like, Source and Double XL. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who is these motherfuckers? Who is these cats with these curls and all that? And I wasn't that hip. Until I moved to Atlanta. And it was like the third day I was in Atlanta. Diddy, it was the Bad Boy and Family Tour.
I remember that.
And it was at the Dome. And he was like, yo, I got a surprise for y'all. Lights go off and Lay It Down comes on. And that shit was like an earthquake. And I remember calling home like, yo, you know them cats with the curls? They stars out here like, yo, these cats is crazy. Yeah, and ever since then, I became like this like super fan. Then to get to like work with them and then see like the work ethic and like see how them fools was like writing. Like, it was just, to me, anybody, if I talk to anybody, I'm talking about top five, they ain't five rappers harder than MJ. Like,
nigga, what?
There ain't five rappers. I don't care who you,
let's
everybody
go.
Out there, there's not five rappers out there colder than MJ. And I seen him be in the studio with other people, and Mung's like, I gotta write my jam over. Like,
yeah.
Be what he just said.
But bro, like, I'm gonna ask you a question. Lay It Down. I was thinking about this yesterday. Who has the best verse? Who has the best verse on Lay It Down?
My favorite is MJ.
30 buses in my yard, talking shit about a bitch. Tell me to beat that bitch.
I love about it. This picture that verse has just like as if somebody animated that, and it's like
talking about 30
buses in the yard, talking ish about a claim to beat a
family, but they look like 30 tricks. Talking like, about why I meet that hoe, fuck the hoe, charge the hoe, break the hoe, house the hoe, bust it down the shit. What? Like, nigga, no. Hold on, let me just say something. You gotta understand something. As a kid, and as a little boy, I mean, all you are is horny. It's all you want is women all day. You want, it's two things you want as a little boy. You want some money and some girls. Or if you like girls, but you want those two things, yes. Right? And hearing, nigga, like, and another thing I'm gonna tell you, coming out hard, if somebody said, I'm gonna put a gun in your head, and you have to recite a song, every word on one album, the only album I think, a rap album, the mm-hmm. only album I think I could recite every word to is Coming Out Hard. Like in history, like one rap album, like Biggie Ready to Die, it's a couple of records where I'll get lost in the flow.
Okay.
But like from Hi Mom, what do you think? Nice, son. Looks great. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Then it's like, boom. The Pippin Hoes was some shit that came easy to a player. Because then, what? I'm 13. This shit is incredible, nigga. Like, what the fuck?
You talk about two 19, 18, 19 year olds.
At that time. What? Yeah. Come on. Come on. So you are also a part of One Music Fest. You're mm-hmm. one of the founders of One Music Fest. I'm going to ask you a question. What do you, obviously you have a festival that you can work one time a year.
Yep.
Lucky you, nigga. I'm he works one day a year and he makes his money in one
weekend.
Day.
It's a weekend.
No, I'm sorry, a weekend.
A weekend.
One weekend he makes all his money. But I wanted to ask you, how do you feel festival culture has affected the music landscape?
I think it affected positive and negative.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So the positives is, like, so with One Music Fest, you may have, like, a fan of one artist. Let's just say, I'll give you a perfect example. The year we had, like, the first year we had Kendrick and Nas. A lot of people came to see Nas, but they left Kendrick fans.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So that's now you getting, like, you getting exposed to a lot of other acts and stuff like that. Now on the flip side, negatively, sometimes we get people who charge a higher price for festivals. And I'm like, hey, you do realize, like, the last show you did was 3,000 people. Now you're trying to charge us based on 50,000 people. 47,000 ain't coming to see you, my nigga.
That's
you
know what I'm saying? I'm glad you brought that up because obviously we're seeing artists struggle with tours. We're seeing artists like losing major money on tours. Mm-hmm. And I think to me, it feels like the fan is like, why would I pay $200 to see one of y'all with an opening act when I could pay $300 and see 40 fucking acts or whatever one I want to see or whatever time I want to see them? Like, when, like, you know what I mean? So I feel like that played a role in, like, how these artists are touring, how these artists are moving, all the other stuff going on. So that's what I would say it affects.
It's also, like, sometimes, too, like, artists, today's artists, and, you know, and this is one thing I love about, like, watching your joints because you always keep it real. But today's artist is hella lazy. So if they own a festival, you know what I'm saying? You can use, like, all the other artists to promote it.
Yeah.
But now when you go on your own tour, you have to be able to sell that.
Yes.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Especially if you headline.
That's another thing because if you are, damn, I never thought about that. So if you're on a festival, you don't necessarily have to promote it.
No.
The festival's
your job
itself.
To promote it. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a concert, you have to
you
promote
have
it.
To promote it. And so then when you see, like, artists, you wondering, I won't call them out, but there's artists who struggling to do numbers on their tour.
Yeah.
That's because they don't do interviews, they not on social media, they not having any engagement outside of putting music out.
Yeah.
And go buy a ticket.
And I also think a big problem that artists make is they flex how much they have. Like, as soon as they start getting money, they show it. And I think that the audience gets tired of the rich. Like no matter how you, what you say, if you were poor, which I was, really poor, mm-hmm. you know how bad the poor wants to eat the rich.
Yeah.
So when you become rich, you have to behave like someone who knows how the poor people think. So when these artists was poor and they get this new money and they showing it off and shit, and I'm rich and I'm better than y'all and all this other shit, then people are like, well, shit, you rich already. I'm gonna support this person because they're telling me the struggle they're going through. They're telling right. me what they're dealing with, and that's what makes, like Rod Wave. Like Rod Wave, that motherfucker has people going. Yeah. Like, dog, I seen my daughter, like, what? Like, and it's like they connect with him mm-hmm. on such a high level because yep. of what he's talking about. the music is, you know what I'm saying? So these other artists, if you're talking about how much money you got and how rich you are, but you ain't telling us how.
Yeah. It's a thin line between motivation and creating envy.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And envy creates jealousy. So, like, if I'm looking at an artist, let's say, you know, you take, like, a Rod Wave, people definitely going to come out to see him.
Mm-hmm.
You might not like her. People might not like her, but they relate to Sexy Red or Glorilla, right?
Mm-hmm.
They motivated because Glow, look at, we literally saw her rags to riches.
Yes.
Like, we really saw, like, her FNF. First video. You yes. Like, yo.
Yes.
Look at these hood chicks, da-da-da. And even though, you know what I mean, now she looks a certain way, she's making money, but she still never makes it, like, throws it in the people's face. Mm-hmm. She still is like, you still see that same personality in Glow.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And to be honest with you, because, and another thing, I'm going to be like, man, we've been in this shit long enough. Like, I love 8-Ball and MJG, but there might be some people that said that's horrible. That's cool with you. I love it.
Right.
Right? So music is subjective. We don't talk enough about that. I look at things objectively. Sexy Red to me is a star because she looks and acts like an audience.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the trolling, I believe, if I looked at Sexy Red, I believe the fans at this moment, today, are trying to figure out, is she real or not? Because you know, some artists are like, they make music, but they're not real artists. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is like, and you know how this shit is, like, dog, how many of us from 1998 are still mad that Lauryn Hill didn't drop a second album?
Right.
Right? It's like we invested all this energy and love and like you were the fucking one and then you just left. So I think that fans don't want to invest in artists that they don't think are real artists unless they're in on a joke and everybody knows it's a joke.
Yeah, I think eventually like she's going to it's going to be some adjustments that had to be done because it's like you're making money now. You still like this person. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but I don't know, you know, I never met her. But I think, you know, most people probably love it because they like, I guess she is authentic. You know what I'm saying? But even if you want to see people come up, like you may have an artist that's from the hood, like Nipsey. This is why people love Nip. When you first saw Nip, the people that rock with Nip from the beginning, he wasn't just Nipsey. He was Nip the Crip.
He was
banged out. You know what I'm saying? Everything was like, it was banged out. Then you saw his progression as he started making money, start talking about businesses and building and mm-hmm. even building up in his own community, which is why everybody loved it. They're like, oh, he still kept it real, but we saw his progression.
Yeah.
I can use that now as motivation because I see what Dip did.
Yeah.
We from the same place I'm from a place that just like that. Now, you know what I'm saying? Of course we saw his demise, but that's not why people love
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
People
exactly.
love this because they saw the real. They saw the real.
Exactly. And to me, I think authentic artists, like I think fake artists are done.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there's not enough money out here. People have like the pandemic made some people really, really rich.
Mm-hmm.
And it made everybody rich in the country because PPP loans, unemployment was killing it. But those people spent their money.
Right.
And now they're angry. And now they're seeing people who took off, who made the money that they spent. Mm-hmm. And they're like, so now they want another shot at it. So for me, I'm just looking at it. And I'm like, dog, I just think that people have to start paying. The artists have to start paying attention to the fans. Like, what is your fans' base? That's why I was saying what I was saying about Sexy Red. Because Sexy Red is successful as fuck, but she doesn't look like it.
Right.
Like, them wigs still look cheap. She still, like, she wearing fashion over clothes. She ain't, you know what I'm saying? She ain't, like, wearing Louis. And that's when you lose the audience because now right. they can't dress like you.
Right.
Now they don't see themselves in you. And there's an aspirational thing that's there, obviously, mm-hmm. because me seeing someone look like me win means that I can win.
Right.
That's the motivation there. But once you start looking like something that I know I ain't nowhere near, then it's like, oh, you rich already. I'm going to invest over here.
I think, like, if you look at an artist, I take an artist, because sometimes people think that changing what you have on or changing and doing certain things is like selling out. But you take an artist, like, that somebody we all know who's super rich, but still, like, you know what I'm saying? Now, they went through a phase where, like, they changed. If you look at Drake 3000,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Drake got that paper.
Mm-hmm.
Drake changed, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you see him, he's still going to dress, you know what I'm saying? He still kind of dresses, but he doesn't dress the same as when Outkast first came.
Yes,
no.
Yes.
He went through a progression where, you got to remember, that was like a 5 to 7 year period where he was in front of
yep.
every fashion magazine.
Yep, yes, he was.
Yep. like that. He was like, that he was dude.
Mink pants and football helmets. He was going crazy.
Even to the point where, like, and let's keep it real, because everybody be like, Dre the number, like, Dre is a lot of people's number one. But it went through a phase where, like, niggas wasn't fucking with Dre with how he was dressed. Mm-hmm. That was like, man.
Like, I'm gonna say one thing. I gotta just say one thing. I would say niggas outside Atlanta.
Right, right.
Because I ain't gonna lie to you, when Dre came with that second album and he was wearing that turban, nigga, it was niggas in my high school wearing that. Mm. Like, out, like, no, dog. Out, like, it's weird how people see Dre weird. Dre right. is, if you wanna know what Atlanta was like in the 90s, just look at Dre. That is who Atlanta in the 90s was. It was Dre.
That's also because y'all was always like, kind of like Atlanta, New York. Y'all was like into like fashion and shit.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Y'all was fashion forward. Like, you know what I'm saying? Look, I'm from Compton. I'm from the West Coast. We was never fashion forward.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
So, like, so even when people was talking about certain things, we was never really hit.
Yeah.
So when we saw like Dre or certain people may have saw Dre, they like, man, this nigga out on grandma's wig. We didn't look at it like fashion.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
See, we looked at it. It was years later
when we was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, you know, it's like you know what it was? Dre was kind of like to Atlanta what Slick Rick was to New York,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Wearing all of the chains, and it was like, why does this dude have on 50 fucking chains? Like, but that was like, it was almost like, I'm going to be the superest, most at New York person you can think of, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Dre became like Atlanta, but Atlanta outside of 285.
Right, right.
People always talk about Atlanta and think, no, outside, like Atlanta, Dre is that. Big Boy is that too. It's like, dog, how many people look like Dre right now with the beard? He just mm-hmm. is an artist, so he has a flute in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
But right. I want to ask, you say you're from Compton, man. I want to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
Well, let's talk about West Coast hip hop. No, I want to really talk about this. What is it about West Coast rappers that they know how to deal with? They know battling is like y'all shit.
I mean, first of all, we grew up, every day is a battle. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you look at, like, the Drake and Kendrick battle.
Yep.
There wasn't a day that I thought that Kendrick was going to lose.
Me neither. I knew that.
Not only because his rapping ability, but people tend to forget that Kendrick is from Compton, California.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Tell us what that means.
Like,
I want to know what that means.
Him being from Compton is like, you can't lose. It's like having a fight. You can't run from a fight. You gotta squab, homie. You know what I'm saying? Because now if you don't squab, you got all your homies is looking at you.
Yeah.
Now you gotta go back and be in the face of all your partners. He don't, like, the battle, if you look at everybody, like, all the millions of people who, like, damn, Kendrick won, he don't really give a fuck about that.
Mm.
He give a fuck about the people in his circle, like, because they the people, like, die, like.
I think
I'm
Kendrick,
talking, you
I
gotta
think,
do it.
I think Kendrick, I'm going to say something I said that it pissed people off, but I'm going to say it. I think Euphoria is the greatest diss record of all time.
Euphoria was my favorite one.
I feel like Euphoria was the movie and Not Like Us was the end credits. It was like he killed him on Euphoria and then Not Like Us was just like, now we can party. But like the way he did it, the way he approached it, it was almost like, dog, I'm being honest with you, but I'm not even lying. I believe 100 years from now, they're going to be doing studies on how he attacked Drake in this battle. And it was like, because, you know, battles usually like, I'm going to punch you, you punch me. Punch you, you punch me. He just punched him. Then you punched him, then he punched you right. Oh, hold on. He didn't give me an hour to let my song live.
But if you look at, like, the way West Coast people battle is like in the streets. Like,
yes.
We battling you. Like, we ain't battling you to like be friends later. We battling you to end you because we don't want you to come back. You look at like some of the best battle raps. I mean, outside of like Hit 'Em Up, West Coast.
He tried to kill me.
No Vaseline. No Vaseline.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? If you look at DJ Quick. Dollars and cents.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
When he said, like, but he's on stage. People don't remember that. He's on stage while MC8 is right in the front row. And he said, you ain't got a G in name because the G ain't in you. And I'm just looking like,
it ain't in you.
What? Like, it was and to be honest with you, I think the Kendrick battle showed us how much West Coast, because to me, it's weird, bro, because I put up a post where I said, I asked the question was, and you got to be old enough. See, that's the one thing I'm glad that I'm the age I am, because I've seen, we've seen giants be giants and fall. Like, yes. People seen Bill Cosby fall.
Yes. Right.
But did you see him when he was a giant?
Oh, my God.
Right? You know what I'm trying to say? So even like Puff, Puff was a, y'all met him as Love. He was a giant.
Yes.
Right? Giant. And then you see, and then so when I ask people, I'm like, do y'all think this Kendrick record is going to do to Drake what that concert in the Chicago in 1979 did to disco? And you know what I saw a lot of people say? From the South, I'm going to be honest with you, the West Coast doesn't have that much influence over hip-hop. And I'm like, y'all are fucking crazy.
It's not true.
Like, it's like, y'all, it's like, bro, like, I believe, dog, I'm just, I know it's going to sound crazy. Y'all might say pause, but I'm being honest with you. I'm just grateful that I'm alive at the same time as a person like Kendrick. Well, I could have witnessed it firsthand. Because we read all these books about art of war and this person, mm-hmm. this leader, and like, you know, you hear all these stories. Yes. And then it's like, now I'm watching it in real time, him slay a giant. Like, with things that people didn't know you could slay a giant with lyrics.
But also, like, because they don't like us, the song was crazy. When I saw the video, because there's a lot of symbolism in that video. He destroyed him with the symbolism alone. Forget what he's saying in the video. If you would look at it, I mean, from the moment it starts, that actually knock on the door, there's a symbolism behind that.
Yeah, I heard it's like the spook or something like that.
Yeah,
something like
it's
that,
from the Bardville era and all that.
Yeah.
All that. He's basically making great, like, you like the blackface. Like, he's one of those.
But to be honest with you, and on Not Like Us, what he also did, I just gotta say this. The smartest thing he did during the whole battle was think about this. Not Like Us is a West Coast record. It's a West Coast beat. Mustard is nothing more West Coast in it. But that third verse, he paid homage to Atlanta.
Right.
And not, but he paid it in a way where now Drake can't come back to Atlanta. And that nigga, when that nigga said, you go to a few, because you got to remember when you, because that's the thing. Sometimes we're so conscious and we're just doing it. And then, I mean, unconscious rather. Mm-hmm. Just doing it, we're living it, and we don't realize what's happening. And then somebody stops and says, you ain't a colleague, you a colonizer. Hold the fuck on. Is this nigga is not a colleague. Hold up.
That's a real statement.
Like, for Dive, if you look at the Not Like Us video, like, he took the video to, like, offset everything that Drake said.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's like,
his wife is C-walking with the kids in the living room.
You know what I'm saying? From YG being in the video and all of that, like
DeMar DeRozan, who was like the Toronto Raptors' best player for years,
playing chess and not checkers.
You got the owl in the cage that he's staring at, just looked at it locked. Like,
and the crazy thing about it, what people don't see is like he's still like he ain't like, because other people who like, oh man, is he milking this? He milking it because when he said he really hates you, he don't want nobody to listen to Drake. So he want Drake to say something else so he can continue.
Oh, brother, I'm sure Kendrick has like three more chains.
He don't care.
I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't care what they say. Drake is in enormous trouble right now.
Oh, he's in trouble.
Nigga, yes. let me tell you why. People say, oh, he's too big. Let me tell you something about people. Nigga, we in Atlanta, Georgia, no one was more important than Master fucking P.
Yeah.
Master P was dropping an album every other week, and we was buying it. We was wearing soldier clothes. We was doing this. And I'm not going to lie. It was two things that killed No Limit. And the main shot was No More Playing GA. Here's the crazy part about it. If Pastor Troy doesn't put the No Limit Studio, let me talk to P, he doesn't say P name in the song. So it's funny because I was playing it on, because I was in the car like a couple days ago, and I played it in the car, and I just on Spotify, and it doesn't have the intro on it. And the girl in the car was like, why? How's this even Take Down No Limit? He don't say that. I'm like, damn, you don't know it. So, and it was Cash Money. He was about 85. Cash Money was the other 15, because Cash Money gave us the option. Because remember, it was like back then, it wasn't a lot of dynasties, but now there are. And I just believe that. And I believe that. I'm telling you, man, people say what they want. I'm like, he in trouble. And I think he's in trouble because he's not American. Right. And I don't think it's like when you go to the West Coast or like no matter what, I was born in the Bronx, right? I lived in New York till I was 12. I'm an Atlanta guy. But if you take me to New York, I understand it.
Yeah,
I understand the culture. I understand what you don't do, what you do. He doesn't understand that.
You could tell he didn't understand it in the battle, because if you knew, like, you can't put YG, like, you put YG in game, like, they was going to team up with you.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, ain't nowhere in hell. They still got to go and deal with their homies.
But that's, you know what I'm saying? And another thing about West Coast has so much. West Coast has so much politics. So I was at a table with a very high powered exec like 2 weeks ago, right after the Juneteenth concert, and he said that he was talking about this Kendrick concert. He said, "Dog, there's nobody in New York. There's nobody in Atlanta, nobody in Florida, nobody in no other city in America that can make one song and have everybody, Bloods, Crips, enemies, everybody on one stage because he united an entire coast. And people don't know how bad the West Coast is with like culture, gang culture. Oh, no. He had Bloods and Crips on proudly on stage, bro.
I wholeheartedly believe this. That Juneteenth concert was the biggest moment in West Coast hip hop
history.
Agreed.
There's no other moment that you like for me watching that and you seeing like when I tell you the politics, you seeing people wouldn't even be in the on the same block.
That's what
as
I heard.
Each other.
I heard it was people that was on there that was like in nowhere in the world they would have been under there. But that's what I'm saying. Like the song is to me Not Like Us is the new Lift Every Voice and Sing for Niggas. When that shit come on, it's like, it ain't like we just dancing. It's like we free.
Right. And then we got to look. You look at it like, man, I'm from the West Coast. I've been to the South for a while. But the West also been ice cold when it came to music for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, we've been ice cold. Like, you had the Tylers and the Kendrick, but as a whole, like,
right,
streets and all that, we had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So now they looking at it like, now the spotlight is back on the West.
Yes.
So now we can't, like, let's put all these politics to the side. We got to embrace it. The only other time the West has been united, there's only two other times the West has been united.
I
like
love
that.
This conversation.
And
tell
that
me.
is during the right after the Rodney King verdict,
92,
which that was violence.
Yes.
And then Nipsey passing. Mm-hmm. But again, violence.
Yep.
That created that situation.
Yeah.
Now it's like we happy together. On some like, oh, we rocking.
Or some, they're not like us.
Exactly. Who
is and to be honest with you, the reason why I said Not Like Us to me is the new Lift Every Voice and Sing is because, see, what America doesn't understand about being a true black person is that there are, being 100% black in America is a curse at first, right? Mm-hmm. And Drake didn't have to play no politics, right? He got with the right people, no politics. He just came in and he won and we let him. But then what I think happened was, just me personally, I'm in the music business. You know, it's shit we say on camera, it's shit we say off camera. I believe that there were things that people seen off camera about him. And I think that it happened so many times. And I'm talking about little shit like he fucked your ex and didn't call you. You know what I'm saying? He fucked your mama. Or, you know what I'm saying? Just, like, that's the type of
real,
shit he
real
was on.
Creep type
like,
stuff.
Real creep type
real
shit.
Creep type stuff.
And, because let me tell you why I know that. Because if he had one real friend, one American, not one person said anything. And here's why. Nope. I think not one person said anything because Kendrick revealed who he really is. And that's when he said, this ain't just me, this is what the culture feeling.
This is what the culture feeling.
And it's like, here's the part. If Drake was connected to people in a culture like that, he would have known.
He definitely would have
But
known.
He doesn't know because he's running around with his brothers, Canadian. By the way, he should. Mm-hmm. But nigga, you talk like us, you rap like us. I mean, you don't talk like us, I'm sorry. He talks like a Canadian. Yeah. He raps like us. And not only do he rap like us, he raps like the Jamaicans in Jamaica. You see, he does the way he does everybody shit. It's like if Two Chainz did I'm Different, and he didn't have muscle on the beat, ho.
That's why so cold Euphoria. The first line was the famous actor. You've been acting like you part of this.
Yes.
Now, of course, you've been doing a hell of a job with your acting, but you would have known. It's just like the people sometimes when I see people fall out. Like over women and shit. I be wondering. I'm like, damn, nigga. If you grew up listening to Short and Ball and G and shit, like you listen to
that, you would not be tripping. Stay there. When Two Short, you got to understand something. This is another, I'm glad you brought that up. You got to understand something. When Two Short said, "I give you a bitch before I give you a joint. Bitches ain't shit. Now I made my point." When you 13, 14, listen to that, you like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That we was pimps in the South.
Yeah.
It was all about just getting women. Like it, in the West too, it was like it was about getting women and all the other stuff. So when you hear that, you had to be a player.
Right.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, aka the Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holla at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holla at us to get to YKTV.
And so, the player shit ain't okay. I knocked down your chick. It's supposed to be like, all right, hey, man, if it's some girl you playing with, and I know, I'm supposed to come here and be like, hey, dog, the bitch giving me action. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this
I'm
going to be a player shit.
About yeah. it. Because here's the thing, like, you know, you come and be like, man, I really got feelings for her. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna fuck
with
her.
For sure.
You like, man, you gonna smash it. I'm like, okay.
For sure.
But I'm smashing it, like, consciously knowing, like, you ain't finna be my girl. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you finna give me the game. Like, nigga, you know, the bitch, okay, cool. Now, if I'm just backdooring you, like, oh, right, fuck with her. I'm finna start DMing my own shit. Really, that's to me, like, that's some sucker shit because, first of all, I'm paying too much attention to what this man doing and his broad. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm trying to backdoor him. Yeah, I ain't really cheap trying to fuck. I don't even like her. I just don't like this nigga.
Right, Dirty Mackin. It's called Dirty Mackin. Yeah, but you know what it is? When you want somebody because somebody else has it. To me, that's just you proving to your, like, by the way, when I was a young man, I ain't gonna act like I didn't do it. When I was a younger man. But like, nigga, last 10 years, I'm like, dog, I don't have to prove to nobody. I don't gotta run around here and act like I don't need to hit her to prove that I'm that nigga. I should believe that regardless.
Right.
And I believe that he lost that part.
Right.
He and I'm gonna be honest with you, like, I don't feel bad because ain't nobody standing up for him.
The thing is, man, nobody standing up and nobody saying, like, that got to say a lot about
that's
you.
Say a lot about you.
Everybody is like, not even Wayne.
Not even Wayne. Not even Baby. Nigga, Jay Prince has been silent. And I believe that, me personally, I don't know this for a fact, but I believe he sat back and said, I'm going to have to let him see what it's like when I don't back him up and let him get whipped.
Right.
So he could see. And guess where he lives now?
Houston. Who lives in Houston?
Drake.
He's in Houston now?
Yes. Houston. Nigga,
even the Canadian, what's my boy, the huge star, The Weeknd.
Like, everybody's against you, and then you can make it seem like you Thanos, but that's because you are Thanos, nigga. That's because behind closed doors, you probably plotting and letting niggas see. We've been in this shit long enough, you know what it is. The run is over, the act is over. You can't go get no little niggas to stand by you because we gonna all know that they hired swords.
Right.
Like, are they standing by you because you they nigga, or are they standing by you because you gave them a verse?
Ray, you know you called this a year ago, right?
What'd I say?
What was gonna happen to Drake?
I've been saying that. If you don't like to listen,
when you
brother.
Started talking about the Barrettes and
I said
all
that,
I said,
dog, Jay-Z had to grow up. Nas grew up. Kendrick grew up. Like, Kendrick got his, like, hip-hop grew up. Hip-hop, we went from Bitches Ain't Shit to Hoes and Tricks to having our wife on the album cover saying, like, we grew up.
Right.
He didn't.
He stayed right here.
He didn't. And the reason why he didn't grow up is because he wasn't one of us.
Yeah.
He didn't have to play by, and I think that's what his, it's kind of like, you got a white homie, and you know, every time you go out, the police fucking with you, and he's like, leave us alone. He's like, I ain't fucking with you, nigga. Yeah. They fucking with me, nigga. You don't say leave us alone, say leave him alone. You know what I mean? Like,
I think because he's a huge star, it's just like Michael Jackson. There was no star ever. There's nobody ever famous. Like, he's the most famous person to ever live. Fucking planet.
I said the only person more famous than Michael Jackson is Jesus.
Well, I'm going to say, like, the only reason I say MJ is more famous. Now, Jesus' name is more famous.
Yes.
But nobody really know what Jesus looked like.
Ooh.
They know what Mike looked like wherever he went. But Mike went from selling 100 mil to, like, okay, 20 mil, 10. He was, you know what I'm saying, to
but
Mike didn't stay.
No, but hold on. I got, we got to talk about that.
I am talking about that.
Go ahead.
I don't think that has to do with fans, though. I think that's more on the business side. I don't think he ever lost fans.
No.
I'm saying, like,
it's not that. Let me tell you what it is. Mike grew up. He realized how much money he was making off of him. He realized who was pimping him. Remember, Michael Jackson didn't start getting attacked until he attacked Tommy Mottola.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it started.
Let's not forget, Michael Jackson was the first artist that I know of that was frustrated with his CEO, that and he was so famous that he... No, fuck that. He flew to Japan to meet with the owners of Sony and said, he's a racist, get rid of him, and that's why they got rid of him.
Yep.
And then everything.
He's probably one of the coldest. I mean, when you found out like how he finagled them out of the Sony publishing situation.
How?
So okay.
I know how he got it. I didn't know how he finagled them. I knew.
So all right. So you remember he ended up getting the Beatles publishing.
He paid $50 million.
Them motherfuckers couldn't take him having the Beatles publishing. I was pissed about that shit, right? So they kept trying to buy the shit back. He was like, "Nah, I don't want to sell it." So then. He was like, okay, they kept on. He was like, all right, how about this? Sony came and was like, we're going to give you this, and we'll give you this in Sony publishing for the Beatles publishing.
Mm-hmm.
He had already owned 3% of their shit.
Yeah.
So they gave him 48. Mm. Now he owns 51 of Sony shit, Sony's publishing.
And that's
now, at the time, this before they had Timberlake and Bieber and Beyonce and all that shit. Now he owns that shit, and the contract said the only way he would, like, they kept trying to force him to sell the publishing back. The only way they could to force him to sell is if he went to jail and kind of defamed the company, which in came the lawsuit.
They tried to put
the law, you know what I'm saying? That's why the first one he just paid. The second one, they didn't want to take the money. He was like, fuck that, I'm going to court.
And people don't know, I never met Michael Jackson, I'm gonna be honest, but I know people that was around him, like, he was very militant. And he loved black people. He was all about black people. He was a real nigga. Niggas heard, like, and he would tell niggas, hey, don't do that. Don't fuck up. They're going to get
don't
you.
That,
and he knew it. And I think that that came from him to me, him not seeing how they attacked him, the route they attacked him. After he got Tommy Fowler, he was like, oh, they some evil motherfuckers. Y'all some evil motherfuckers. Yeah. And by the way,
Mike,
that's...
smelly.
Yes.
Smelly. See, people don't remember when Mike... fired his security and hired the Nation of Islam. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had the Muslims. You
I remember that. No question.
Yeah,
that's the one.
He's like, I ain't trying to trust none of these motherfuckers. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So let's talk music now. By the way, you're a music connoisseur.
Oh, yeah.
Purple Rain or Thriller?
Thriller. And the reason being is every song on Thriller was a single.
Thriller got 1 week record.
Huh?
Thriller got 1 week record.
Who?
Thriller has 1 week record.
What song?
Hold on, I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you right now because I looked.
You gotta look at the fact. That hold on, you
no, because
it up.
No. Every the fact, the fact that I gotta look up is because if the song is so irrelevant that I'm gonna say.
Hi, I'm Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesack and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Want to avoid common pitfalls and get straight to the insights that drive success? Join me and recognize names like John Mackey of Whole Foods and Joe DeSena of Spartan. As we unpack the hard-earned lessons from their journeys. Ready to streamline your path to success? Listen to Let Me Save You 25 Years on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson. Listen now.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You be like, oh yeah, that was on that album.
The girl is mine.
Crazy.
Thriller. Bad. PYT.
Heartbreak Hotel.
Baby Be Mine.
Baby be mine. Baby be mine. Yeah,
don't do that, bro. Don't look like that. Baby be mine.
Baby be mine is the weakest one.
Rick.
Come on.
See, baby be mine, Rick.
Come on.
Just sing the melody, Rick.
Come on.
No, don't help him.
Okay.
He don't have the melody.
I forgot.
I can name every song on Purple Rain.
You telling me every song on Purple Rain was a single?
No. Well, yes.
No, no, no.
Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? Hold on. Can I tell you why before y'all get on me? Choke, I see you, Choke. I see you. Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? The fucking movie had a scene for every song on the album had a...
He made the movie.
That's like saying every song of Jay-Z Street is watching is a single.
Hell no.
Jay-Z,
no.
Jay-Z didn't perform... Man, let's be clear. Thriller is incredible. I ain't gonna lie. But listen to me. I said Motown up until about 8 years ago, I would say Thriller.
Here's a real question.
But as I started getting into, I'm like, dog, Thriller does not have a better song than I Would Die For You.
That's cap. PYT is
better. It's not better than I Would Die For You.
I want your love. You tripping.
Okay, everybody know I Would Die For You is better than PYT, bro.
Man, come on. Billy Jean.
Okay,
I like that too.
The real question is this.
The beat, even on the beat. Even though we have not had a beat that feel like I Would Die For You ever. Mm. Like, the drum pattern.
Take Me With You.
Take Me With You. Crazy. Darling Nikki.
Purple Rain.
Crazy.
When Doves Cry. Red Corvette. All of them joints.
Human Nation is not better than fucking I Would Die For You. Human Nature is good, but I Would Die For You is like, polite, let me tell you what I'm saying. All right, hear me out. If you drop, okay, this is how I look at it.
If
Justin Bieber put out Human Nature right now, or I Would Die For You, which one is going to be
Human
bigger?
Nature. No question. No question. Human Nature so much of a beast.
First of all, nobody can sing. I can't think of anybody can sing I Would Die For You. That's
think
why
about this.
I just went for the biggest white pop artist I can think of. Like, nobody can sing it.
Hey, now, Human Nature so much of a beast, it became a number one record four times. SWV, number one.
Chris Brown. Michael Jackson.
And then, Have recorded it. Heavy D was the first person that Mike let use his record.
And the second one was Nas. And he told Nas, it ain't hard to tell. He can't curse. That was the only stipulation. You can use it, but you can't curse. Then came in, ain't hard to tell.
I rock with your takes, but you tripping today.
That's four.
That's four.
And all four of them songs are classics. That can't be.
Let me tell you what I'm thinking. Okay, this is how I think. I think that the world tells us how to think. So I'm like, what and why do you think that? That's all I'm saying. So for me, it's like, bro, like I told you, Thriller, first of all, I don't think Thriller's better than Off the Wall.
I agree with you.
Come on, bro. I agree with that. I'm looking at you behind the camera.
I'm a mic guy. I agree with that.
I don't know about
truthfully,
that.
Truthfully?
I would say this. I was having...
Off the Wall?
I saw people... Now,
Off the Wall.
Mike had the coldest four-album run.
Off the Wall might be the greatest album ever made.
In history.
And I could go that high Off the Wall.
And by the way, you know how you know Off the Wall is a crazy? Because it was a disco album that no one knew was a disco album.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, I gotta live your... Bro, come on, man. Come on, bro.
Off the Wall was cold. Well, see, Mike got a lot. Bad was crazy. Bad was crazy.
Bad
is probably my favorite. But see, I like the best.
Bad was crazy. But I'm just saying, I think people give Michael Jackson more than Prince because people don't understand. Prince's run from 79 to 84 was ill, but Prince did Do Me Baby.
Yes.
Think about it. Like, he had like.
Prince Cole. I don't want to take, listen. Because Prince fans is like Prince like is Beyonce elite. Fans. They
like,
be getting
like
serious. They be
like
getting
cult.
They be getting serious.
The Prince fans
and
are
they be thinking you dissing them. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you compare them to Mike and say you choose Mike, then the next thing you know, you got a bunch of purple raindrops in your box. Like, I'm not saying
real talk. He said purple raindrops.
That's like the bombs. The bombs in the beehive. The purple raindrops.
They be dead ass serious. So I'm not saying Prince ain't cold. Prince is definitely... right there, you know what I'm saying, with Mike. Sometimes he was, you know what I'm saying, his music was above Mike. Sometimes Mike should have him beat, you know what I'm saying? But, like, I'm saying as far as him musically, he probably, like, exceeded Mike. But as far as, like, just the all-around superstardom,
I gotta,
ain't nobody.
I'm going to say something I think is controversial to you. I believe Kendrick Lamar is the greatest rapper in West Coast history.
Debatable.
Who's debatable. Better?
I mean, my favorite rapper in West Coast history is Q.
Damn. So is mine. I'm about to say, that's mine too.
Q ain't right. Bar for bar, though.
You tripping. Boy, who's that bar for bar? You tripping.
With Kendrick.
You tripping.
No,
oh, Scarface.
Hold on, let me just make it clear.
I'll take Cube.
Do not get mad at me.
And I love Scarface.
I'm not an Ice Cube fan.
Okay.
No, I'm a fan of Ice Cube the man. But
nah, you talking about the rapper.
And by the way, I like his records, but I can't recite one Ice Cube verse on anything. I just like Cube.
Got it. I'll tell you this. I'm gonna give anybody some Ice Cube.
I swear.
I'll give you Ice Cube.
Maybe an NWA song.
Why Ice Cube?
No Vaseline.
Here go the thing.
Go ahead.
Why Ice Cube is a GOAT? First of all, if you take Easy Does It, which is one of the greatest albums in West Coast history, written straight by Cube, straight out of Compton. Written mostly by Q.
Incredible.
Death Certificate, America's Most Wanted.
That's
people forget. Death Certificate is a, when people talk about storytelling rhymes, Death Certificate is an entire story.
That's
every album is a story except No Vaseline.
I agree with you. You're 100% right. I agree with you, and I'm not mad at that. But this is my thoughts. Ice Cube to me always felt serious. Like, he's a serious nigga. Like, and as a grown man, I can appreciate that. But when I was a kid, I didn't, like, I liked fun
again,
shit.
But Easy Does It is a straight comical
album. But that's Easy
album,
though. I love Easy
Written
E, nigga.
By Cube.
I love it. No, listen. Now, listen. I ain't gonna lie to you. Now, see, I'm saying, I would put Easy E. See, another thing, hold on, hear me out, because hear me the fuck out now. Hear me the fuck out, real nigga. Hold on, hear me out. Hold on. Can I get it? Hold on, Mo, I just want to get it out.
I'm listening.
I want to get it out. Let me get out. I promise y'all, it sounds crazy. Let me get out. Don't, Jordy, fuck you. This nigga ain't never laughed this much in his life, nigga. Fuck you, nigga. Let me get it out. Let me get it out. Nigga, I forgot I was about to say. What was that? No. That's what I'm saying. Okay, Easy E. Hey, man, Easy. Okay, no. No, I was not going to say that. Here we go. I was just going to say that music in general is not just about what you say. It's also about the voice. It's also about the persona. What I'm saying is that, like I said, Ice Cube persona, Ice Cube to me just felt like the realest nigga alive. Mm-hmm. Like, he wouldn't bend. And by the way, as a man, I love that. Like, that's amazing. I love the fact that he got his wife with him. I love the fact that he stands on everything about it. I'm just saying, his musically, there's not an Ice Cube. Today was a good day. I know that. I do know that word for word. But I'm saying, outside of today,
have you done that?
Hell no. Nah.
Check Yourself? No
Check
way.
Yourself is a good one. But listen, Kendrick Lamar is still better than Cube to me.
No.
Absolutely.
Hold on, watch this. I see the, I just got to ask, young nigga, Chad, what would you say?
But Cube, he
young.
Name five Ice Cube albums.
Who's a better rapper?
And me, Kendrick.
Okay. Listen, let me tell y'all just a quick lesson on Cube. With people tend to get Cube twisted. You ain't know about police brutality before Cube. Cube told you about Rodney King shit before Rodney King happened. Cube wrote that.
3 years.
You know what I'm saying?
3 years before Rodney King, he wrote fucking police and everything.
Didn't know about Compton. Nobody knew about Compton. Compton was a small city. We had a city of 12-mile radius. You didn't know about that before Cube said straight out of Compton. And the nigga wasn't even from Compton, but he had everybody believing he was from Compton.
Where's Cube from?
He's from L.A.
L.A.
He's not from Compton.
Yeah. Wow. No, no, listen. As far as a writer with a pen, Cube is a GOAT. First of all, he's a GOAT, period.
But listen.
I'm just speaking, like, but I'm just
but
saying.
Then, but then when they was like, oh, Cube, you on some gangsta shit. I want to leave NWL. I want to change. I'm finna be on some black. I'm finna make a whole Black Power album with the Bomb
with
Squad.
The bomb crazy. Squad.
Keith and Hank shot.
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
That was crazy. Everything. No, listen, I'm trying to tell y'all. Crazy. Everything, listen, bro, from Cube leaving NWA because they was fucking him, to Cube starting his own shit, to everything that Cube has done, to making Friday, to making movies, to branding himself. Nigga, yep. He is the
big dog, three.
He is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, as a rapper, strictly mm-hmm. as a rapper, I believe Kendrick is better.
You know what? K-Dot. You know what I can say? Lyrically as a rapper, just rapping, I can take Kendrick, but I think Cube has better songs.
Kendrick and can tell you records. Cube is better.
More club bangers. Yeah.
Matter of fact,
Kendrick Cube is better.
Kendrick's favorite rappers is Cube, E-40, Jay-Z.
Jay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
so,
did y'all like
it? We be clubbing?
Loved it.
I mean, We Be Clubbing was for a movie, but I didn't. Yeah, I wasn't into We Be Clubbing.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm trying to tell you, like,
Hold on.
What I'm saying is, it's just equivalent to, there are some people, like, dog, there's some people in New York that say Nas is the top two, number one, and to me, he's not not top three to me. And that's what I'm saying, but, like, he can rap. But there, like, we act like it's all about just lyrics. It's about lyrics. It's about how powerful your lyrics are. It's about the effect. It's about the music. It's about your voice. It's about your delivery. It's about the impact. Now, Ice Cube is a way more impactful artist than Kendrick.
I get it.
For sure. Impact.
People get mad when I say CeeLo is a better all-around artist than Drake.
Oh,
no.
CeeLo is, first of all, CeeLo Green, to me, is probably top five most important artists in Atlanta history.
Mm-hmm.
Great artist. I just believe that Dre is... And bro, I hate even, see now I get why people get mad, because I hate even doing this. I hate even doing it. CeeLo verse on Get Up, Get Out, and Get Something. I don't recall ever graduating at all. Sometimes I think I'm just, like, CeeLo was impactful as fuck. I think Andre's impact was a little bit more and felt a little bit greater because Andre was an outcast and CeeLo was in Goody Mob.
Here's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I said all around artists. There's only two artists in the history that can say they barred up, they respected as far as bars, and can sing, and the shit sounds just as amazing. And that's Lauren and CeeLo.
That's true. And Drake. Like, you know, and Drake.
Who else?
And Drake.
Don't stop.
Drake.
His songs don't sound.
Motown. Come on, nigga.
No. Drake is cool, but he's not a great singer. I'm not dissing Drake as sing. I'm saying his singing, if you put him, like, he can't sing.
Oh, no, he can't sing.
That's what
like CeeLo singing songs, and you like, damn, this nigga, he almost like, singing album.
Like, so I'll say this. To me, CeeLo is the second best artist in Atlanta history. To me, behind Dre.
So Dre's the best artist in Atlanta history?
To me. And I think third artist, only artist.
Just artist.
Future.
Over T.I.?
Oh, absolutely.
I think Future caught T.I.
I don't know, man.
We need a new commission.
We do.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just trying to process that.
So hear me out real quick.
Niggas are still calling it trap music.
No. That's first of all, I hate that part because now like I'm discrediting Tip. No, Tip is the most important artist in Atlanta history. I didn't say Tip's the most important artist. I said best. Best means skill. Important is Tip is the most important artist in Atlanta history. Dre is the best artist in Atlanta history. And I think CeeLo is number two on the best, and then I think Future's number three on the best. I think Future's number two on the greatest, or most important.
most important.
No, Future number three on the most important. My most important list, top three. Hear me out. My most important. As an Atlantan. Hear me out. As an Atlantan. Tip, important. Tip, Outkast, Dre, and then Future. Important. Best is, hold on.
Jermaine Dupri was a writer.
I said artist.
He's not an artist.
Jermaine dropped one album as an artist. By the way, Jermaine is my nigga, but I'm saying the most important artist in Atlanta history to me, the three, is important, meaning impact, meaning Atlanta has been built on their shoulders. From 1994 to 1993-94 till around 2003-04, Outkast carried the fucking torch. No. From 2004 to around 2013, Tip carried it. Now, let's be clear. Everybody in the 90s, you could put behind Outkast, right? Yes, you could say they was in the Outkast family. Hold on, hear me out. Everybody in the 2000s, you could put behind Tip. Everybody, but now, Future is the leader of all of these young niggas. And he's been the leader for fucking going on 12, 13 years.
That's a fact.
I can't argue that. At no point in time was CeeLo the leading artist in an era in Atlanta.
That's what I'm saying.
Because even when Outkast came out, Goody Mob came behind it. Now, Best is just who is, to me, is most talented, best, making of songs, everything. To me, I think it's Dre, CeeLo, then Future. Because I will say this, and y'all can say this, this is really called That's Debatable. I mean, this is the whole premise of the show. Right. But let's, we're going to get there. Hold on, the preview of that show. We're going to call this shit the preview of That's Debatable. But hold on, hit me out real quick. But I want to say this, that Tip's catalog did not age well.
Don't think so?
No, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because Tip was a trending artist. Tip did whatever you like. Great song. I don't know if they're going to play it in the club now, 2024, right? Live Your Life. That was really a Rihanna record, because anybody can recite Tip verse to me? Just look at it holistically.
No, right.
Let's not look at it biasly. Look at it holistically. Now, hear me out. Now, the reason why I think Tip's catalog didn't age well is because Tip was trendy, except for his trap shit. Dope Boys in the Trap still works now, but that's not no shit that the world celebrated. Right. That's why I said he was impactful, but not the best, because when he made records for everybody, he was doing other things.
I get that.
Rather than Future has been the same dirty Sprite, Atlanta, dirty nigga who fucking bitches, who he's the same person.
Agreed.
And my thing is that he's gotten better.
Yes.
Future 2024 album is better than Future 2012 album.
I give him that.
Let's be clear. Can you name an album from 2014, 2013 on up that's better than trap music for Tip? Tip, this is the difference. Tip and Future are the inverse of each other. Tip came in hot and slowly coasted down. Future came in cold and slowly went up hot. That's why I said he's a better artist, because you can tell, like, not only that, let's also be clear. Tip is probably a better businessman. Tip is a better leader. Yeah. Tip is a better CEO. Tip is way more than just a rap. That's another thing we started doing.
Like, some of the shit was like the legal shit with Tip, but like, I listened some of the, like, even recent Tip stuff. And I was just like, some shit he be saying, he cold.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he couldn't rap, but I'm saying that. And y'all know this, every basketball player don't stay in the gym every day.
Right.
I think as an artist, Future stayed in the gym. As an artist, T.I. left the artist position and went and go built businesses. Exactly. He also did a show for his family. He's very involved in his family's life. And let's be clear, being a father changes how we approach life. Like, I think being a father affected him too. Future's a father too, but it feel like his T.I. kids feel like they're in the house.
Same can be.
Future kids is all around, you know? So it's like, not being funny enough, right. I'm not saying that he don't take care of his kids. That's not what I'm, but you know, I mean, what I'm trying to say.
Based on that logic, I can see why you would say Kendrick over Q, because kind of like Q's progression as a family man and movies and all that. Than like his music lack.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's why his music wasn't number five no more.
But that first 10 year run of Cube.
Legendary.
If you throwing that shit on right now, like you like, this shit sound so like it just came
think,
out.
Y'all think Young Dro's music?
Joe's cold.
Okay, last thing. Okay, I wanna ask you, because I was gonna give me your top five This is the last one I'm going to do for the Culture Report. Top five underrated rappers from Atlanta. Underrated rappers. By the way, underrated just means you think they might be three, but they should be one. That's what I mean by underrated. Because I say Dr. Dre is overrated.
Dr. Dre as a rapper?
As a producer. It's overrated to me.
As a producer?
To me.
Cut his mic off.
Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? He's not number one to me. He's number three on my list. Overrated. I think number one is Pharrell, then Timbaland, then Dre. To me.
As a producer.
That's so. But I'm saying niggas is like, even Pharrell and Timbaland is like, Dre is the greatest of all time.
They sure
but,
do.
But yes, this is my subjective opinion.
Right.
Now, I want the five top Atlanta underrated rappers.
All right.
Kilo.
I'm definitely gonna go Kilo Ali.
Okay.
Because when I first moved here, he was like the god. Like he
yes.
was over Outkast. Everybody. They was on. Kilo, Saha.
Ooh, Saha's a good one.
Saha's on my list too.
I like this. I like that. Let's go.
Kilo, Saha, Dro. Dro number one. He's underrated.
Dro's number one.
Yeah, Dro number one.
Go ahead.
Saha number two. I think as a rapper, like, I think Mike is underrated as a rapper.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Because his speeches and everything kind of far exceeds what people, but most motherfuckers don't want to get on the song with him and rap. You know what I'm saying? Same with Dro, same as Saha. Shit, man. Are we going by lyricists or just rappers?
This is your opinion. This
man,
is you.
To be honest, and this shit gonna sound funny, somebody who I think that's underrated as a rapper, Mr. 106 and Park, man.
Bow Wow?
I feel like if as a rapper.
If you don't stand the fuck up and leave the room after that, if you've been against me the whole time, if you don't say
I'm saying I'm not saying as a lyricist. I'm saying people don't give Bow credit for the his rapping ability,
his influence on the culture,
songs and appeal, and pushing the culture forward.
Okay,
he didn't write the songs.
Yeah,
but I get what you're saying.
I don't know if he wrote them or not. But
if
Jermaine wrote them, I said Jermaine. But Bow
and Jermaine,
Bow pushed the culture forward. And if you want to take Bow, then I'm gonna say Rich Homie.
Hold on. I want to run down the list for sake. I want to go. Number one is you said is Dro. Two.
Saha.
Three.
Killer. Then Kilo.
Yep.
And then Rich Homie.
Then Rich Homie.
That's your five. What's your five? Atlanta underrated rappers.
Saha.
Number five. Dro. No, who's number five?
Dope Boy Rob. Rest in peace, my man Rob.
But Rob was hard.
Rob was hard.
I was also a fan of Trouble.
I ain't say who's a fan of.
No. Underrated.
Give me your top.
Underrated.
Name, give him a number. Give him a number.
Four.
Okay, so.
Who's, going the
okay,
going
so number five is.
Right.
Number four is.
Who I just
said?
Trouble.
Number three is.
Dro.
Number two.
Sci-Hi.
Number one.
Chat.
Uh-oh.
Underrated.
You said who?
No, go ahead. Give your list. Who your number one?
Bow Wow.
Ludacris ain't underrated.
Ludacris from Chicago.
Give me but no, he's from Atlanta. Don't do that with the high school in him.
Ludacris ain't underrated.
I went to high school with him. Don't do that.
He's from Chicago.
He went to high school in Banneker South in ninth grade.
From my city.
He's from Champaign, Illinois. He's not even from Chicago.
But he ain't underrated, though.
My man Scrappy.
Scrappy is a good one.
Yeah, Scrappy.
Okay, y'all hit my top. So Scrappy's number one. Okay. Hit my top five. Rocco. I'm sorry. Start. Number five is Kilo. Four is Rocco. Three is Dro. Number two is CeeLo. Number one. Underrated. People don't know how good CeeLo is as a rapper.
He's crazy. Yeah,
talking about rappers. And number one, and y'all gonna say, y'all gonna argue with me, but 2 Chainz.
But I don't know if 2 Chainz underrated. You think 2 Chainz underrated?
No. Hear me out. Hear me out. Titty Boy.
Was that nice?
Hear me out.
Titty Boy was that nigga.
Hear me out. Hear me out before I go crazy. I'm saying 2 Chainz. Now, obviously, 2 Chainz is a very successful rapper. He's made millions of dollars, and he ain't hurting for nothing. So people might say that doesn't make he's not underrated. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying they don't ever put him in that top three conversation. And I think it's because he has a little silliness to it.
Yeah.
But if you listen to when that nigga said, she said, I killed the pussy. I got the affidavit. She blew my cap off. Like, I done graduated. Like, that nigga 2 Chainz is one of the illest rappers, wordplay rappers, period. And he should be ranked. And we don't ever put him in the same conversation as Luda, T.I., and Jeezy. And he's up there with them. If not, his career's probably been a little bit better because 2 Chainz is the inverse.
He started, and then
he up. And then he coasted up. Most people start here, coast down.
And when he did that, went through a group change, name change, and everything.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, because I don't agree.
But I didn't look at them like that.
I know, but
that's why I said Dr. Dre as a hint, because I'm like, it's just about where you think they should be. I told us a tip when I saw him at the Cash Money party. I'm like, bro, ask Jack. We be in the car. I be playing tit. I'm like, yo, niggas don't. I mean, I feel like you listen to it, but because it's a little ha-ha in there or it's a little personality in there, we don't. Mm-hmm. That nigga can really rap. Like he has bars, all of that shit. And so to me, 2 Chainz is the most underrated rapper in Atlanta history, and that says a lot based on how successful he is.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So look, guys, I call this the Culture Report. But this really was like, that's debatable. Like, we're going to do that's debatable. Like, this is what that's going to be about. So if you like this, this is what that's debatable is going to be. We're going to be picking subjects, and we're going to argue about it.
So my question was,
go ahead.
Do y'all feel like Young Dro's music is aging better than T.I.'s?
Young Dro don't have enough music out there to say that.
He got features.
He got about 7 to 8 really strong records. But you talking about, like, you talking, and by the way, Dro is my nigga.
I'm just saying, but I'm saying, why?
No.
Okay.
Because his biggest record had Tip on the Hook. But when I'm saying, let me just make this clear. When I say aging, I'm a bigger fan of Tip than I am of Jeezy. But Jeezy's catalog has aged 10 times better than Tip's.
I would agree with you.
Because Jeezy never chased hits. He never tried to make commercial shit. He just was Jeezy. And if y'all liked it, y'all liked it. And that's why it aged better. Meanwhile, when you hear a song with Tip, you're like, oh, I know where he was at. He was getting a lot of money right there. That's why. It's like Jay-Z. Like, when you think about Hov, you don't think about fucking his hits. You know what I'm saying? Nobody talks about Hard Knock Life.
We talk about
the street shit. Right. That's my point.
Yeah.
The street shit is where he rapped that. The street shit is where he rapped that.
That's
my point. But so Tip, that's why.
I remember Tip had one of the coldest lines in hip hop history when that nigga said, "To play me, baby, he gonna need a track
from God featuring Jesus and Jay-Z." And that's when he he was at his sharpest. Mm-hmm. The pen was the sharpest, and then the Hustler kicked in that trap music album. And then he figured out it's not about how good I rap; it's about making music for an audience. And he did that. And then he figured out, oh, I can make more money if I do commercial. Give it to me. And let's be clear. If we had to have the real nigga list in Atlanta, Tip is the realest nigga in Atlanta history. It's nobody even close. That nigga has stood tall against them New Orleans niggas when they was in town going crazy, the police when it was shit, street niggas, he stood tall. When Flip dissed him, that nigga got out of jail. He was in jail.
He got out of jail that night.
He ended that nigga's career. How the fuck did he do that? How the fuck do they announce you in jail at 4 o'clock and then by 9 o'clock you on stage saying, Flip, beating your bitch ass out here? How the fuck? That's what I'm saying. Tip is the realest nigga, but if we judging music, by the way, that's another thing. We only talking music. Only talking music, bro.
Oh, yeah.
When I said rapper, I was talking lyrics. Like, that's what I'm saying. 2 Chainz is probably one of the greatest lyricists in Atlanta history, but they don't say that. Don't say it.
I can't really speak on Kilo because I don't know enough about him. Like, that's
Kilo.
I know who he is, but as far as looking, I can break down. Like, oh yeah, he was that.
I came here, give me the year, 98.
Okay.
And Kilo was at when that, like, the Organized Bass album was out.
97.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
When he dropped Baby Baby.
Yeah.
Baby Baby.
Yeah. Baby, Show Me Love.
Yeah, Show Me Love, yeah.
Love in your mouth. And everywhere you go, they was playing that shit.
If Kilo was Kilo when Atlanta had the light, Kilo would have been 100 times bigger.
Okay.
But he was Kilo when Atlanta didn't care about the light.
Yeah.
So when Kilo was winning, I moved to Atlanta in 91. When I moved to Atlanta number one, 91, nigga, all they was playing was Do You Hear What I Hear? That's all we heard every day was, do you hear what I hear? And I ain't never heard that coming from New York. So I was like, this is, what the fuck is this?
About a couple years. Outkast come to what, 94, right?
That's Raheem the Dream.
In the world.
That's Raheem the Dream.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, Raheem, but yeah, Raheem ain't, nah. I like Raheem, but he was more like a curator to me. Kilo felt like that nigga.
Yeah.
Well, that's debatable. That was fun.
This ain't that's debatable.
This is the culture report.
The culture report.
But it's gonna be though. I got a set being built. This is the debatable culture report. That's what we're gonna call this episode.
Shout out to Donnie and Chad on that.
Yo, shouts out to everybody in the room arguing. Y'all proving the point. Y'all was in the middle of a social experiment for me. I was like, let me see if I can start some shit and see. Y'all was on that. I'm like, yeah, that shit works. That shit works. Choking and got him 5 times left the room. Yeah, that shit works.
Like, what?
Yeah, that shit works.
I think made the most impact is Soulja Boy though.
Well, his impact is ridiculous.
That's not a laugh at. Ain't a laugh at. Who says this?
Soulja Boy.
Soulja Boy is a big reason the business is the way it is.
Soulja Boy copy?
That's what, and it probably was bigger.
Impact.
And it's big. No, hear me out. Hear me out. Listen. Soulja. I've been on record. I've been on record saying that Soulja Boy. I've been on record on this show saying Soulja Boy is the Kobe Bryant of rap.
Facts. And I'm with that. I am with that.
Soulja Boy.
Can I tell you why? Soulja Boy ushered in immaturity in rap. Immature. He made Soulja Boy is the first kid. Think about it. Bow Wow, they might say, but Bow Wow was a concoction created by Jermaine Dupri and everybody in that room. Mm-hmm. He just was great at it. Mm-hmm. Soulja Boy produced the record, made the record, did a dance to the record, put that shit out, went to the internet, didn't care what the world is. He brought youth to rap. Lee Chopper, NBA Young Boy, all them niggas is here because of Soulja Boy.
Let me tell you
how I equate to Kobe. Because the reason why Kobe was so loved, because Kobe made the NBA young.
Yeah.
Kobe was the first real kid to come out the league out of high school. They didn't know if he was going to be that great. He came in. He was arrogant. He thought he was a shit. He was in that playoff series with the Lakers.
They thought
he was arrogant. They let him shoot 3 air balls. They was like, oh, you think you're the shit? He shot 3 air balls, and they thought that was over for him. And that nigga came back and won the next year. And he was the youngest guy. He was the kid. He was the first kid. Bryant is the reason why kids are coming out the NBA at 17. It's not LeBron. It's Kobe. That's why LeBron looked up to him, because Kobe was the one that made that shit.
Hey, man, I got to say this. I got to say this before I go, right? Because we talk about this can be controversial, but I wholeheartedly stand by it, and I'm not even from there. People always talk about Atlanta. College Park is the most underrated city as far as musically.
Right, he's from New York.
I'm from, don't
say that.
I went to Battica High School and I went to McNair Middle School.
Right.
I went to McNair Middle School.
College Park. Let me tell you. JD.
Dallas All Star.
Dallas. You know what I'm saying?
Gunner.
Divine.
Gunner.
Divine.
2 Chainz. You know what I'm saying? Random. Pooh Bear.
All these little.
I went to middle school with Pooh Bear. T.I. went to McNair with us. Pooh Bear went to McNair with us. High school I went to with Young Jock and Ludacris. And, bro, right. like College Park and I'm going to say East Point.
112.
Because they kind of together.
They're together.
KP, I'm like.
No, I can't argue that because the talent that came from those two smaller cities within Atlanta is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Rico.
And I said, I mean, Rico, everybody.
I said
that because it's somebody that's underrated. We was talking about Soulja Boy, but people like kind of tend to never talk about Smurf, College Park.
I'm going to say College Park.
You know what I'm saying?
Soulja Boy was signed to him.
Soulja Boy, VIC, Yin Yang, all of them came from Smurf, from College Park. So I'm like, the city of College Park, like, I'd be hanging with the homie and I'd be learning. College Park made me, bro.
I love it.
I look at that like, you know how we have like in the back home in the Bronx with Kool Herc and everybody.
Hold on, you want to ask the last question? Go ahead.
Uh oh.
Can y'all, because I don't know, I'm not originally from Atlanta. Who put Atlanta on the map? The hip hop.
Outkast.
Mainstream with just period.
Outkast. Outkast.
Mainstream,
Mainstream Outkast.
Dog, when they dropped, when they said, All the players came from far and wide. Like, that Outkast made Atlantans proud to be Atlantan.
You think Outkast nationally before JD and Criss Cross?
Yes. Hear me out. Oh, I'm glad you said
that.
Hold on, hear me out. You're right. Hold on, hear me out. Okay, let me say something.
That's for you, bro.
Let me say
your research. Why did Jermaine do that? That's Chris Gore's first album cover. Passing around. Why did you do that?
What is it? Let me see.
Y'all ain't had no teams down
here? Oh, the New York. We had New York influence.
I hate this nigga.
The New York influence.
I can't stand him.
Because they showed this that West jersey, the Yankees jersey backwards.
Y'all tell me they ain't had no...
Okay, show.
Oh, okay. Since you want to talk about that,
Hold on, hold on. Let's address it. Let's address it. Number one.
Let me tell you something.
Hold on. Boys to Men got their swag from Atlanta.
Hold on. Let's do that. That's Dallas Austin.
That's a fact.
Dallas Austin and Kevin Wells. Sit your Philly ass down.
Hey, Dallas, they had no swag. Mike sent
them. Hold on, hold on.
They didn't have swag. Mike Bibb sent them down here to live with Dallas Austin, and he got a swag for K-Wells.
Hear me out. Hear me out. What Jermaine did. Jermaine understood that in order for this to go global, it has to feel global. He understood that. The reason why I say Outkast over Criss Cross is because Criss Cross, now they said on interviews Atlanta. They said they was from Atlanta on interviews, but Outkast was Atlanta. You just showed me a Criss Cross picture with both of them wearing a Yankee and a fucking Mets jersey. When we saw Andre came out in the Players Ball with a Braves shirt on. Jersey. That's why Outkast put Atlanta on the map. That's what I want to say.
They put Atlanta on the map. First rapper I heard from Atlanta, I didn't know he's from Atlanta because he was like rapping like Run DMC.
Yeah.
Was Shady.
That's what I'm saying. So when you say Atlanta, Outkast got so much love because the one thing that Jermaine did that he even said on the show, he said, I was going to New York because I knew that New York was the epicenter of media. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't in Atlanta working like I needed because I needed to be on the cover of the New York outlets, Vibe, Hot. I needed those because if I knew if those fucked with us, everybody else would follow. So he was smart. And it worked, but Outkast was unapologetically Atlanta country. Yeah, no, I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? They was unapologetically Atlanta, and that's why it worked.
Thank you.
That's why rest in peace, Rick Owe is probably the most important
yes.
figure not in probably. Atlanta music history.
Not probably. Yeah, he is. But it's three. Yes. The most three important figures in Atlanta history to me is Rico, Dallas, Jermaine.
Yes.
The three most important figures. Yeah. And guess what?
Yeah.
They all from College Park.
All three.
This is the God Show. All this is three. The Culture Report. We are out. Show is over. We're going to do this again and again. Let's go.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.